We are joined now by Dan Senior, who is a spokesman for the Coalition Provisional Authority in Baghdad and a senior advisor to Ambassador Paul Bremer, to discuss with us the latest on the transfer of power in Iraq and all the important issues that surround that. Dan, welcome to Hot Talk. I appreciate taking the time to visit with us for a few minutes.
Good to be with you.
Well, of course, the real big news and the buzz is all about the the naming of the president, prime minister in Iraq, and the interim authorities. How has all that gone over there, and what's the mood?
The mood is very upbeat. We recognize, I think Iraqis recognize, that there's still going to be violence here between now and June 30th. But now you're going to have Iraqis taking the lead on the security front. You're going to have Iraqis taking the lead in the daily management of their government. Iraqis taking the lead in establishing an agenda for control of their country post-June 30th. Iraqis will be responding to Iraqis. And that's very important. When the electricity line is down, they go to Iraqi politicians to complain about it, not the Americans. When the gas lines are too long, they go to Iraqi leaders, not Americans, to complain about it. So Iraqis are now in charge of their political destiny.
You know, it's so interesting because, of course, in America, we're used to that. We understand freedom and we understand access to our political officials. But that's a very different culture in Iraq. And is it your sense that'll be challenging for them to even realize that they have that kind of authority or that kind of influence, you know, just as citizens?
Well, it's a good question. It's too early to tell, but here's what I know. Iraqis have embraced their freedom with a degree of enthusiasm that I've been struck by. When you consider what they've lived under a totalitarian regime for 35 years, yet in less than a year since the regime has been overthrown, they have, for instance, launched 200 newspapers. A vibrant free press has taken off here. And those newspapers, some criticize what we do, some of them support what we do, but they all have the freedom to do so, and they've embraced it. And I can come up with a number of examples where Iraqis have really embraced and run with their newfound freedoms. So despite having lived under totalitarianism for so long, they are very excited about this new opportunity before them.
Isn't that neat? It's so fun to see freedom blossom in a place where it's never been before. And it's, you know, we were asking the question earlier of our callers. President Bush has compared World War II and the Iraq War, and people probably struggle understanding that. Yet here you give an example of the very thing. It's all about freedom, and that's really what every war that the United States has ever been in is about. And one of the neat things, Dan, that I've noticed in this whole thing is that, and some people have tried to put a negative spin on this, that some of the leadership that has been chosen by the Iraqis was not our choice, was not ours being the United States' choice. And although that might be true, isn't it also true that that's part of the expression of freedom?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And, you know, as President Bush has said, these Iraqi leaders won't be our puppets. But we know this. They share our vision. They want a democracy in Iraq. They want an Iraqi government chose through direct elections, something we in the Americas have been doing for 200 years. And they want to defeat the terrorists. And so we share a common vision. We won't always agree on how to pick every step of the way and go in every direction. The important point is the strategic goals remain the same.
In terms of the new members of the cabinet, of the interim government that were chosen, give us some idea of how different that is, and by that I mean the diversity of that, especially within that culture. Because we're used now in America to some diversity in our government. How does that play out?
You have six women in the cabinet, which is a higher percentage proportionate to most cabinets around the world. You have every ethnic community in the country represented in the cabinet: Shia, Sunni, Kurd, Turkmen, Christian, men, as I said, women. You have technocrats. You have also people with political skills and political identities. It is the most diverse political body in the entire Arab world. It's an enormous progressive step forward.
And strategically, in that part of the country, that's really critical, isn't it, to the United States' interests?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if we can build a democracy in the heart of this part of the world, which has been such a breeding ground for terrorist attacks against America, terrorist attacks launched because there are some people in this part of the world who blame their socioeconomic status, their dreadful living conditions, their frustration with life under totalitarianism, they blame it on us. If we can build in the heart of this part of the world something that gives people hope. It'll do more to set back the cause of the terrorists than just about anything else we do.
Sure. There's no question. Freedom is contagious, and what an awesome thing to watch, and I'm sure it's awesome for you to watch it so up close. You know, in the choosing of some of these leaders, you know, it's been pretty widely known that, you know, that not all of them were, again, who the United States probably would have picked. Did the United States have a role or any veto power in picking the Iraq president or anything like that?
You know, it was a collaborative process. The UN was in the lead on it. As President Bush has said, Lakhdar Brahimi, the UN special representative, was the quarterback for the process. Ambassador Brimmer played a backup role. But it was collaborative. There were discussions and consultations, and we worked through it.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of this government, and then the fact that obviously we still have many troops there, and will have for some time, I would think, what kind of authority will the Iraq government have, if any, over the United States troops?
They will not. American commanders will make decisions about the operations of American troops.
So having that large military presence, as the United States has, do you see any problems or conflict, or how would you give full sovereignty on the one hand to this new government, while at the same time we have these troops that are without question impressive?
Well, we've set up similar partnerships around the world, whether it's in Germany or Japan or Korea. In the case of Korea and Germany, these relationships have lasted almost 50 years. We figure out a way, when there's a common decision between our government and a host government, that there's a need for American troops to be on the ground, to play a support role, to help defend against a security situation. We work out how to have troops there at the behest and support and invitation of the host government, and it can be quite cooperative.
What role do you think, then, you know, now we shift over to the UN and the Security Council resolution that, you know, continues to be debated. Do you see the Iraqis having a role in shaping that at all? And if so, what role?
Sure. The Prime Minister of Iraq, Alawi, has instructed his foreign minister to go to New York, who apparently he's just arrived, to have a role, make sure Iraq's voice is heard in the discussions at the UN.
Some critics, you know, both in Iraq and other places, have said that the United States and CPA is stalling the oil for food probe. How important is it to get to the bottom of that, and is there any stalling going on? Is it just baseless?
First of all, it's critical that we get to the bottom of it. Secondly, the CPA has not been stalling at all. In fact, it was the CPA's initiative that the investigation got going. Ambassador Brimmer put $20 million behind the investigation. Ambassador Brimmer instructed all the ministries to turn over all papers, all documents they have relating to the Oil for Food program, get them in a centralized location, so this could be turned into a robust investigation. Ambassador Brimmer and the overwhelming majority of Iraqis believe that this needs to be a very, very serious investigation. We have to get quite aggressive on it.
There's been, you know, some pretty strong, obviously, opposition to any American presence over there, including from Cleric Sistani, and he's urged Iraqis to lobby the UN Security Council to eliminate any trace of American presence. Obviously, that's not going to happen, but what if there is an overwhelming response to that and urging of that? How do we respond?
Well, I think most Iraqis understand that while they would prefer not to have foreign troops here, they recognize that there's a significant terror threat here. Zarqawi and other and his ilk, al-Qaeda types, are here. They're trying to wreak havoc in this country. And until the Iraqi security forces are in a position to defend against that terror threat on their own, they're going to need the support of the Americans. They understand that. We don't need to tell them that. They're the ones who've told us.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's so interesting because we don't, obviously, a lot of times, and I'm sure you find this frustrating, we don't get that side of the story in the United States mainstream media. So how frustrating is that for somebody like you? And obviously, you're a very good spokesperson, and you get the word out, but that must be frustrating.
Well, you know, unfortunately, the structural deficiency in the press, whereby only the bad news was reported, and we recognize that there are some bad days here, but we'd hope that the good days are reported too, and the complete story is told.
In terms of the violence that we hear so much about, and obviously there a lot of it's real. It's not that we want to diminish it in any way either. But between now and June 30th, do you see an uptick in that, or what do you expect? I guess.
I don't know, uptick, downtick. Look, there'll be more violence here between now and June 30th. Those who want to throw off the democracy we are building here and the path to true freedom for the Iraqi people and sovereignty have a real stake in throwing everything off course. And they'll use violence to try and do so. But we're not going to let, while there will be more violence, we're not going to let ourselves be thrown off course.
Dan, I appreciate you've been very generous with your time, and I know you're busy and you have lots of other outlets to visit with and whatnot, but really appreciate your taking this time to speak with folks in and around the Fargo-Moorhead area, and a lot of North Dakota folks are over there and troops over there. Our prayers are with you guys. We just want you to know how much we appreciate the work everyone is doing over there, and wish you all the very best.
Thanks. Happy to do it. Appreciate it.
Thank you. My guest has been Dan Senior, spokesman for the Coalition Provisional Authority and senior advisor to